Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. It's our memory verse. It says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood.'" Let's pray. Father God, we come to you asking you, God, to open our eyes, to teach us, open our hearts, Lord, that we would receive your word in our hearts and that we'd have ears to hear. God, I need your help. I ask you to speak through me, to use me. And Lord, help me just say what you would have me to say in honesty, sincerely. Lord, please help me. Fill me with your spirit. And those that are here, Lord, help us just to receive this well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hadn't necessarily planned to talk about what I'm going to talk about, but it fit with where we're at right here and not walking in the way of the fool. We're looking at, as it says in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." They're going to entice you. They're going to put things before you to draw you in. And that's how sinners work. So one of the things that the sinner does, the fool does, is they entice you with power. It says in verse 11, "If they say, 'Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause.'" You know, verse 13, "We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse." I mean, they're going after them, they're saying, "Hey, you can have some power here." They're going to entice you to hurt innocent people. That's what it says right there. "Let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause." That power, I hold that power over them. I can put fear into them. I can scare them. Who? The innocent. Without cause. They did nothing to deserve it, but I can put this fear into them. I can have this power over them and make myself feel like I'm something bigger or better. And the instructions coming from a father, obviously King Solomon to his children, saying, "My son, if sinners entice thee," here's what they're going to do. They're going to try and hook you with this. "I'm warning you, son, don't fall for it." So what I say today, I'm not purposely picking on anybody. I'm not. I'm not mad at you with what I'm about to talk about. I'm not. I promise you I'm not. I know I get angry at sin, okay? So if I'm up here and I look mad, it's because I'm angry at sin. And we should all get angry at sin. But I'm not picking on anyone. I'm not mad at anybody. I promise you that. But it says that they'll entice you to go after the innocent blood. Entice you to hurt innocent people. I want us to look at something, if we would. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You can save your spot in Proverbs. We'll likely be back there. I don't know for certain. You don't have to. I'll give you time if we need to turn there. But let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Okay, it's going to get worse and worse. These horrible times are going to come in the last days. Here's a description of it. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Anybody think we're there right now? Men are lovers of their own selves? Okay. Got the age of the selfie, right? What is that? Look at me, look at me, look at me. Lovers of their own selves, okay? "Covetous." I want that, I want that. Which again, we go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. And what does it say? Why are we going to lay wait and lurk privily for the innocent without cause? Why are we going to swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit? Why? So we can find precious substance and fill our houses with spoil. Because we're covetous. We want what they have. We're going to steal from them. "So men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters," they're going to be bragging about themselves, "proud," they're full of pride, "blasphemers," they're going to blaspheme the name of God. Let me help us with something here. Save your spot, 2 Timothy. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus, second book of the Bible, chapter 20. We want verse 7, Exodus 20, verse 7. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So you're guilty if you take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We're told not to do that. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It says over here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, that a sign that we're in the last days is going to be that men are blasphemers. Many times we think of blasphemy as someone who's going to, you know, we see it out there all the time, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to this, I'm just telling you so you know, but so many people in their, whatever, on their Facebook posts or social media, they'll put OMG. That's blasphemy. Okay? That's blasphemy. Don't do that. Christians, don't do that. That's blasphemy. Okay? But blasphemy means more than just like saying God's name without giving reverence and honor to Him. That's part of it. But I think more what that I believe the third commandment there, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, more so what I believe that means is that I'm not, think about it like this. When a man and wife get married, what does the wife do? She takes the name of her husband. She takes it. God says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Here's what I think. I believe it means both. The one I just described, saying God's name without giving Him godly reverence. But I also mean to take God's name in vain, more so is speaking to this aspect. And it means that I'm going to take God's name. I'm going to say I belong to God. I'm going to say I'm one of God's people. We say we're Christians, right? We're taking God's name. We're saying I'm a follower of Christ. I belong to Him. He is my God. I am taking His name. You can put His name on me because that's what I am. We're ambassadors for Christ. I'm taking His name. But God says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And God says a description of the last days is that men are going to be blasphemers. They're going to take God's name. They're going to say, I'm a Christian and not live to that profession. They're going to let their lifestyle throw God's name in the mud. Does that make sense to you? They're going to profess that they're Christians, but they're not. They're going to be blasphemers. That's what I believe more so that is talking about. I'm a Christian! I'm a Christian! Then why do you live like the devil and do the things that the devil's crowd does? We got to ask ourselves these things. Bible warns there's going to be a great falling away. In the last days, there's going to be a falling away. Well, that falling away, it's not talking about lost people falling away from Christianity or non-religious people. It's going to be talking about people professing the name of Christ, because that's what apostasy means. It means to fall away from the truth. They're going to say they're Christians, but they're not going to believe it in word and deed. They're not going to believe Bible doctrine. That's prevalent. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. Now here's where I'm going with this. Hold this in your mind right here. Okay, because everyone's touting this UFC fight that happened last night. Okay, watch out. It's going to get real. I'm going to bring it home for us. Again, I'm not mad at anybody. But I saw it several times. Oh, the preacher's daughter. Because Holly Holm's a preacher's daughter. Blasphemy. I don't know if she professes to be a Christian or not, but people are sure putting it out there. She's the preacher's daughter. I see nothing godly when I look at her, and I'm not against her. I'm not trying to be hateful towards her or anything like that. But you just look at the way she dresses. Christianity has gotten so far removed from the Bible that we don't even understand basic principles of modesty. We don't. I'm being honest with you. I was just speaking with a preacher, the missionary that was staying here for a week and a half. He said, I went into one church. He said, I had to preach either looking down or looking up. He said, I couldn't look out in the crowd because of the way the women were dressed. In a church. In a church. Now, I'm not saying you just see somebody saved and they've gone and lived for the world and they just start coming to church. I'm not saying that they don't know any better. It's okay. Those things, I get that. I get that. They're not going to be dressed modestly, and they're not going to know all those things. That's okay. I'm not against that. If a lost person comes in here and they don't know how to dress and act, that's fine. I'm not against that. But I'm talking about people that are saying, hey, I belong to God. I've been saved for 10 years. I've been saved for 5 years. And they don't understand any principles of modesty. You don't believe me, I don't know how else to explain it to you, but I could show you on my Facebook friends that I have on Facebook, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just telling you what's out there. You put it out there, not me. But people that are on Facebook, and mostly ladies, you know, I get my Facebook posts because I make fun of the ladies, but I'm serious in doing it. And how do they take their profile pics? I mean, they pull their shirt down. You know, I mean, that's what they do, right? What are they trying to show? Their cleavage, right? I mean, all the time. Or they do the side pose, right? And they're, you know, getting there on the mirror. Okay, I'm telling you, where's the modesty at? We laugh because it's funny and it's true, but it's sad at the same time. And I'm not talking about lost people doing this. I'm talking about professing Christians doing this. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Here we go right here, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Now remember, we were just talking about this in Bible study. We have the body of this death, right? We have our flesh. Now I'm telling you, just like anybody else, my flesh likes to watch someone get pounded. Can I put it like that? I have watched UFC fights in the past. I've watched boxing matches in the past. I like to see that. I like to watch it. I don't know most people that don't like to watch it. I mean, when somebody just gets nailed just with a good one, you're like, oh! I mean, right, everyone, if you've ever been there watching a fight, everyone at the same time, oh, did you see that? Oh, man! Put that on replay, everybody. I do like to watch that. But what is it in us that wants to see someone hurt so badly? Without natural affection. See, my attitude towards this yesterday was a little different than it is even right now. Because I started thinking about it more. I started thinking more about what the Bible said. And I believe it's wrong for us to watch those things. I know that you might not all agree with that. That's okay. Again, you don't have to agree with everything that I say, but I'm sharing with you the Bible, okay? Here's the conviction I've come to based on the Word of God. If you don't hold that, that's fine. You don't have to. But make sure you're standing on the Bible, okay? We all need to. The Bible should always be able to correct us and correct our thinking. All of us. Okay, and I'll give you an instance, okay? This summer, and I wish this hadn't happened, but this summer my family went on a cruise. Within 10 minutes of being on that ship, I knew we shouldn't have been there. I was waking up with nightmares at night. And that never happens. I never have dreams. But I was waking up with nightmares at night because I was so grieved in my spirit being on that ship, and I knew I shouldn't have been there. Within 10 minutes, and it's too late, we're stuck here. What are we going to do? I've got a week of this now. And I came back and I apologized to this church. I asked you to forgive me for setting that poor example for you. Now, if you want to go on a cruise, go ahead. But I don't think it's a place that any Christian should be. Okay, so I don't have it all. I don't know it all. I make mistakes. I've watched these UFC fights. I've enjoyed watching them. Can I say that? There's a lot of things my flesh enjoys that aren't good, okay? But it's without natural affection. That goes for the guys and the girls fighting. Take the modesty issue out. We're watching someone's face get pounded. I mean, it's more brutal than boxing when you watch it. Why? Because you can knee someone in the face. I mean, I've seen guys' legs get broken. I've seen their worse than boxing matches. I mean, their nose end up on the side of their face. I mean, it is brutal what happens. I mean, you can elbow them in the face anywhere. I mean, it's basically no holds barred just about. And I remember when UFC first came out, it used to be much worse. There was no weight classes. It's like, you want to fight? They just threw them all in, and you guys fight whoever you're matched up with. That's how it used to be. It was much worse when it first came out. Early 90s, I remember. Mid-90s. But it's without natural affection. It says, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Hey, I like it. But do I love that more than God? Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such, what does God say? Turn away. From such, turn away. We go back to shortly after the crucifixion of Christ, really during the time of, as the book of Acts is what's happening there in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a book of history. And you can see Paul mentioning it. He says he fought with beasts. What does that mean? He was thrown into the Colosseum, maybe not necessarily the Colosseum, but they had those set up before the Colosseum as we know it in Rome was built. But they had those games going on already. And again, if you just look into some of that history, some of the fall of Rome had to do with bread and circus. Let's entertain them. Let's keep their mind off of how bad things are and how we're slowly turning from a republic to a dictatorship. Okay, we're going to keep their mind off it. We're going to entertain them. Entertain them. We're going to give them bread. We're going to supply them. Here, feed them, feed them, feed them, feed them. Keep them happy. Entertain them now. Entertain them. Bread and circus. Bread and circus. America is modeling that very thing right now. America worships entertainment. It is an idol in this country. You don't believe me? Try and take it away from somebody. They'll fight you. They will fight you over it. You start talking like I'm doing right now with Christians, they will get steaming, fighting, angry, mad over this. They absolutely will. Lose their testimony over it. But America worships entertainment. Whatever form you want to list it as, it doesn't matter. Sports, cars, movies, whatever it is, whatever you want to throw out there, America worships being entertained. Entertain me, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And I'm telling you, if we want to live the Christian life, hey, it's a crucified life. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So we don't want to walk the way of the fool. What does the fool do? Hey, entice him with power. Let's go hurt the innocent. Let's go after them. Why? For greed. See the Roman Colosseum then. We've got the Octagon today. If you've ever watched a UFC fight or any matches, you know it's much more brutal than boxing. You know it is. I mean, that's part of the allurement. That's why I like it more. Man, you see someone just get their block knocked off. I mean, you're like, man, did you see that hit? I mean, throw it on replay again. Let's see that again. There's something about it. We just like that. Our flesh desires that. I mean, how come, you know, we're in traffic, there's a car accident, and we drive by and everyone's doing this? You know, because we want to see what happened. We're all like that. All of us. It's just in us. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 14, please. Maybe this is why I even talked about this. This was my Bible reading today. It's not Ezekiel chapter. Maybe it is. Yeah, Ezekiel 14. Yeah, because this is in my Bible reading today. This is where I was at, and it just got me thinking, got my mind working about this morning. I did not plan on talking about this, but I started looking into some of this morning. Well, last night and this morning specifically when I came across this. We're going to read 6 verses here. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. Okay, the elders. Who are they? These are people that should be looked up to. These are leaders. If they're getting that title of elders, they're leaders. They're men that we would look to for guidance and direction. And Ezekiel's a priest. And it says, then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. Now, they're in captivity right now. They're not in Jerusalem. They're not in Israel. They're in the Babylonian captivity. They're there by the river Chebar. I mean, they're in pagan country, okay? They sat before me. And get this, so Ezekiel's there and these elders come sit with him. And then all of a sudden, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, God said, hey, Ezekiel, I got something I need you to tell these men. Son of man, these men, the men sitting right there with him, these elders, these people that are looked up upon in this society, in this Jewish society, these men have set up their idols in their heart. He doesn't say these men have statues in their home they bow down to. They set up their idols in their heart, and that's where idolatry's at for every one of us. Don't lie to yourself and say, not me. Oh yeah, you. It's in our hearts. It's in my heart. Our flesh desires it. We want it. We're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's an idol. That's idolatry. I think the first commandment was, thou shalt have no other gods before me, isn't it? Yeah. These men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. It's a stumbling block. It's going to cause you to fall. We set our idols up in our hearts and we put them before us, and they're going to cause us to stumble. A stumbling block. We're going to trip over it. We're going down. Why? Because of the idols we've set up in our heart. And that's something nobody else knows. Your husband doesn't know it. Your wife doesn't know it. Your parents don't know it. Your friends don't know it. You set it up in your heart and it's a stumbling block. And if you don't follow the prescription of verse 6, soon everyone's going to know it, because you'll stumble and fall. It's a stumbling block. They've set up and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Why are they coming to Ezekiel? Because they know messages are coming to him. They're saying, hey, Ezekiel, we're coming before you. Talk to God for us. We want to hear from God. And God's saying, tell these men that they've set up this idol, this idolatry in their heart. Should I be inquired of by them? Should I even hear what they have to say? This is what God's saying. Should I listen to them? What do you think? That's that rhetorical question. The answer is obvious. No, of course not. You shouldn't, God. Why? Because they've turned their back on you. I mean, what if you're in a conversation with someone and they're talking to you and all of a sudden you just turn your back on them? Or what if someone did that to you? What would you think? You'd be like, how rude. What's wrong with you? Why would you do that to me? I was talking to you. That's what these men have done by setting up their idols in their hearts. Do we do the same thing? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Verse 4, therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. God says, I'm going to answer him. Verse 5, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. They've left me, is what God's saying. They're all estranged from me. None of them want anything to do with me. They've turned their back on me, but they come to you seeking wisdom from me. If that's not America today, what is? When some tragedy hits and everybody says, oh, now God, we need you. 9/11, God bless America. Why? Why would God bless America when yesterday we killed 3,000 children? When in June we permitted and made legal gay marriage? Why would God bless America? When we've turned our back on him. Have we not? They're all estranged from me through their idols. Verse 6, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent. Repent. And turn yourselves from your idols. And turn away your faces from all your abominations. Abominations. What's God saying? I want revival in America. I do. I want to see the mighty hand of God sweep over this nation. And I'd be just fine if he started with it right here. But why so often does revival not come? Because we, myself included, you and me, don't want to do what verse 6 says. That's why. That's the reason why. I'm not saying as individuals we can't have revival, because this may not be speaking to you. You may have already done this. Repent and turn yourselves from your idols. But do we love pleasure more than we love God? We're not willing to, as a whole, repent and turn yourselves from your idols. We don't even want to admit that they're idols. How are we going to repent of them if we won't even admit that it's an idol in our life? And fight. There's nothing wrong with it. I can hear all the arguments now about what's not wrong with the UFC and how it's okay. And I know so many Christians that watched it and are just fine with it. And whatever, that's on them. Go ahead. Go ahead. That's on you. But is it an idol? What else is in our lives that could be an idol? Turn away your faces from your abominations. We have to repent and turn from our idols. We look at the modesty thing of the UFC. We don't have to talk about the women yet. Let's talk about the men as they run around naked as well. Does the Bible discuss issues of modesty? Does the Bible define what's nakedness? Think back. I didn't get the reference. I could probably find it. Maybe one of you can look for it for me. But look in one of the Gospels. I want to say it's Matthew or it could be Mark. I forget. But think back to when Christ died. Peter said, I quit the ministry. I'm going fishing. He said, I'm going back to my old career. I'm done with this. Okay, and then they're out there fishing. Okay, turn your cell phones off. All right. Let me hope you don't be that guy. Silence those things. All right, got it. But he says, I quit. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my old job. And then the Lord shows up on the seashore. He's there. And they're looking. He says, hey, have you guys caught anything? I was like, no, we haven't caught anything yet. Well, throw it on the right side. Okay. They throw it on the right side. They get a big catch. And then John says, I think that's the Lord. And Peter, it says something about Peter. We missed this. We're going to miss this. I promise you, you're going to miss it. I should have looked it up and turned there. Some of this just comes as I'm talking, okay? That's why I didn't look it up. But Peter says something. It says, and he girt about his coat. He bent down and picked his coat up. And he put his coat on because he was naked. Are we going to let the Bible define things for us? Or are we going to let the Bible define what nakedness is for us? What does it mean? It doesn't mean he didn't have nothing on. It meant he didn't have a shirt, anything covering the top. God said on a man, that's nakedness. That might be a new one for many of us. That's what the Bible says. He was naked. He was naked. Maybe you found that. Let's look somewhere else. So the men aren't dressed modest. You say, but there's nothing wrong with that. Well, you think that because the world's taught you what to believe nakedness is, not the Word of God. That's why you believe that. I'll just be honest. That's why I believe that. Until I saw it in the Word of God, and I said, oh, maybe I need to line up with the Word of God more. Let's go to Isaiah, if we would, please. And you're going to have to give me a second to find this one. Because I want you to see this one. I don't want it to just be me telling you. So give me a sec. I may have to flip through. All right, Isaiah 47. Oh, man, I'm out of time again. All right, I'll give us this and then we will go. That really means nothing in preacher talk, okay? Because that could mean like 30 minutes. I'm just kidding, I won't keep us that long. Isaiah 47, verse 1. Says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Verse 2, take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, get this, make bare the leg, listen, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and I will not meet thee as a man. Okay, don't get mad at me. I'm just letting you know how God defines nakedness. Uncover or make bare the leg, uncover the thigh. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. What's the thigh? Dictionaries define it as this part of your leg from the knee to your hip. That's the thigh. God says to show your thigh is nakedness. Uh-uh. Well, who are you learning it from? It's okay. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to say, oh, pastor said it. No, don't ever say pastor said it. The Bible says. That's what you say. Don't ever say pastor said. Don't ever argue with someone and say, well, my pastor said this. Who cares what your pastor said? What does the Bible say? Okay, I'm just being... Okay, but what does God's Word say? God's Word defines nakedness as not just a female. Specifically, it's speaking about a female, but not just a female. Showing your leg, your thigh, from your knee upward. That's what God says is nakedness. Now, either we're going to let God define these things or we're not. And you don't have to. Again, it's up to you. You have a free will. You do whatever you want. I'm just telling you that when you're showing your thigh, you are showing nakedness. Men, same goes for you, not just ladies. I understand, I get it that women don't look at men the same way that men look at women. I understand that completely. But it doesn't mean that women don't lust as well, okay? I'm just saying that. But I know that for the most part, I think we can all agree, is that men look at women differently than women look at men. For the most part, I know women lust as well. I get it, but I'm just saying, either one of us to show our thigh, it's nakedness, at least according to the Bible. You don't argue with it. You don't argue with me, though. You're arguing with God. God said to make bare the leg, to uncover your thigh, as thy nakedness shall be uncovered. That's what God said. So let's go back to the UFC. You got the men are running around naked, and the women are running around naked. That just is what it is. I can't stand every year when summer rolls around. I'm like, great. Because everywhere I go, it doesn't matter where I go, the women are going to be running around naked. Can I throw something else in here? Yoga pants. Well, the thigh's covered, but nothing. I mean, it's so tight, it doesn't matter. You may as well not. Because every shape of your body can be seen. You don't believe me. Ladies, ask your husband. You don't have a husband. Ask a man that your brother or something, or your dad, if he'll be honest with you. Ask him what those do to his thoughts. Okay? Fathers, hey, watch the way your daughters dress. You know better than mama. Come on, you know better than mama. Mamas, don't fight your husband over this issue. Do not fight your husband over this issue. If he says she needs to change, why? Because that doesn't look right. Just, okay, go change. I mean, don't argue with him even in front of the kids about it. Ask later. You want a united front as parents, okay? You don't want to argue with each other in front of you. If you have a question, do it in private. That's fine. I mean, we do that. But if daddy's saying, no, she needs to change that, just listen. Why? Because he's looking at her how a man looks at her. And I'm not trying to get perverted or nothing like that. A man understands what men look at. And he's like, you are not walking out of the house like that. Why? Because he knows what men are going to be looking at. We need to get back to biblical modesty. UFC doesn't fit those criteria at all. Just look at what they wear during the weigh-in. I did see that on Facebook. Someone put the video up. You could see, and I know anyway, besides that, what do the men wear at weigh-in? It's not modest. How about this? The modesty issue. What about the masculinizing of women? Do we really want our daughters learning to be warriors? Do you want your daughter to do that? I don't want my daughters doing that. I've said it before to us. I don't think women should be in the military going off to battle. I don't. The Bible says they're the weaker vessel. It doesn't mean they're less than a man. It means literally they're a weaker vessel. Our bodies are our vessel, and they're a weaker vessel. God designed you like that, ladies. It's okay. Men, I don't know. I don't think that's going on here, but don't beat up on your wife because you are the stronger vessel. You're a coward and a stinking wimp if you're doing that. Because the woman's the weaker vessel. But guess what? She's so strong she can deliver a baby and I can't. Huh? Watch that. I can't do that. I don't want to. I couldn't handle that pain. And that's just, God designed you for that. God designed men different. Our bone structure is different. We have more blood. That's why men are usually hotter than women. Because He made us different on purpose. He did. We have more muscle mass. That's just how God made it. But we're masculinizing women. You've even got a transgender in the UFC now wanting to fight the women. The last woman he fought, he almost killed her, beat the living daylights out of her. I forget the its name. He's still a man. Who is it?
Chris Cyborg.
Cyborg is what they call him? Yeah, well, wonder why. Why they call him Cyborg, you know? But, I mean, I remember reading about that. He beat that woman senseless. That's still a man fighting a woman. I don't care what you say you are. God determined what you were at birth. We're masculinizing women. We're treating them like they're men. This started back, I mean, probably the Garden of Eden. I mean, you go back to there, the very beginning, but at least in our society, can I get you all mad at me all at once here? At least in one sermon, I really don't mean to do that. I'm not. I just want to deal with this issue. It probably started back with women's suffrage and women wanting the right to vote. Okay, look, here's how it was set up. You vote as a family. The husband's the head of the wife. It's a family vote, and the husband has the final say-so in any home. The Bible teaches that. Okay, now, I don't want to offend any ladies in here. I've said this statement before, but women are more emotional on purpose. God made you that way. It's okay. Men are black and white. And you get women voting. It is what it is. I'm just going to lay it out there, okay? You get women voting, they're going to vote with their emotions. And I'm not saying men don't, okay? But in general, this is how this works. This is the difference between men and women in general. I'm not saying every woman's like this or every man's like this. I'm not saying that, but in general. Okay, women think with their emotions. God designed you like that. That's okay. Men think black and white. See, I got to keep like prefacing everything that I say because our society so indoctrinated us to think one way that I got to keep going back and saying, God made you that way. God made you that way. Not to hurt feelings. But this is how it is. We're designed different on purpose. Men think in black and white. They can cut the emotions out. And again, in general terms, okay? We think like that. So this thing in our society went back even to then. Women wanting the right to vote. And then you got the women's lib movement coming out of the hippie movement in the 60s and 70s and then pushing for that. And now, oh, women need equal rights and all these different things. And I'm not saying that women should be less than men. I've never said that. I never believed that. But I'm saying that now women want everything that a man wants and they want to do the same thing that a man does. I'm sorry, you can't do everything that a man can do. I've worked with women before doing manual labor and I can't lift that 50-pound whatever it is. But you got the same job description I do. How come I have to, but you don't? Maybe because you shouldn't be doing it. We're made different. You don't see me trying to have a baby. Come on. Right? God made us different. God made us different. And we're masculinizing our young ladies, our girls. I mean, I'm so against pink. My son will never wear pink, at least in my house. I'm telling you right now, if my girls will wear pink all day. Right there, she's wearing pink. But my son won't. I'm so against pink. If you wear pink, if you want to be effeminate, go ahead. No, all right. You could wear pink if you want to. The Bible doesn't say anything against it. But you won't find me wearing pink and you won't see my son wearing pink. Not while he's in my house. And I tell my girls, you better not bring some guy home that wears pink. He's going to get it from me. I mean, I'm going to make fun of him till the end. Why? Because I'm so against what's happening in our society. We're effeminizing men and we're masculinizing women. You see the blending of the genders. So now you got all these transgenders going around. I don't know what they are. You got 5-year-olds wanting to get, or their parents pushing for them to get a sex change. You say, brother, weren't we talking about the UFC? Yeah. How did we get to there? How did we get to where we're at now? Because of Satan destroying God's plan. He's absolutely destroying it. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't do it. Don't do it. Walk not thou in the way of the fool. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Verse 15, refrain thy foot from their path. Don't do it. The world's going to hook you, and the majority, you're going to be, if you believe what I just said right here, and you go out in society and put that, you're going to be labeled, that guy is a or even that lady is, you know, chauvinist. He's a chauvinist pig. How dare he think like that and think, I don't care, as much as I try and preface it and try and say I'm not against women, they're going to say, you're just, you don't like women and you're against women and you think women are less than a man, than a man. There's so many people that would say that based on what I just said right here, when I am not. I think my wife's so special, I want to keep her a lady. I want to protect my wife. And some women say, I don't need any man to protect me. Yes, you do. Eve needed a man to protect her. Why are we in the mess we're in right now? Because I think Adam failed at doing his job of being that umbrella for his family. He should have been there, and I believe the serpent probably did. I can't prove it biblically. This is just my opinion, so again, throw it in the garbage if you don't agree with it. But I believe that the serpent approached Adam and tried to pull the same nonsense on him, and Adam said, get out of here. God already told me that I just don't have to eat it. Get out of my face. Go on. Who are you? Where'd you even show up from? Get out of here. Again, that's my opinion. But he went to the woman, and he was able to get her. He got her. And Adam, the Bible says in 1 Timothy, he ate that fruit eyes wide open. Eyes wide open. He knew what he was doing. It says the woman was deceived, not the man. He did it eyes wide open. He chose his wife over God. Ladies, you got some power right there. Think about that. Think about that, how easily you can pull that man astray. He followed his wife instead of God. That's powerful. So, could I enjoy watching the UFC? Definitely. Should I? Should a Christian? I believe no. You decide what you'll do with it. It's up to you. I can't make you. You're going to do what you're going to do anyway. But I've given us some biblical principles to look at. Just think about it. You make your decision before God. The Bible says every man must be fully persuaded in his own mind. Those are my thoughts on it.